Again, this month has been the emphasis of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, us, this church, this movement that we're part of, this denominational movement, is such a mission organization, missional thinking. Guard your heart because everything flows from it. So who are we again? We are the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, but in Australia. See the symbolism there. I thought I'd bring this up today. It's up at the Mission Centre, and it sits on the wall. Many of you may have seen it as you've walked in or walked past it. But again, the symbolism, right? Who knows this one? The cross. Jesus is the Saviour, all right? So the laver is the sanctifier. The oil jug is the healer, which we've had all three. And this one is coming King. All right, so just to emphasize that again, to put that in place, they're our distinctives. You're going to learn more about this important one, but let's look at who we are again. We are a movement. The churches are a movement of 6.7 million members across the world, in 88 countries, 24,000 churches, 90 theological institutions, and 1,700 missionaries across the world. And it's good, again, I'm re-emphasising that again this week, just to know we're not just one church here in Canberra, we are part of a massive movement across the world. So today, again, the Alliance distinctives, and you've heard we mention each one coming through. Saviour, Sanctifier, Healer, Coming King. This is the fourth one in our grouping. We're going to talk about Coming King. Our Coming King, according to Alliance on the website, is our Coming King. The physical return of Jesus has been subject to speculation and controversy since his ascension into the clouds, which is recorded in the New Testament book of Acts. Knowing that countless millions still have not heard the gospel, the Alliance churches are committed to doing its part to complete Christ's Great Commission before his imminent return. The crown, Christ our King coming, the crown represents Christ's royalty as the King of Kings. His coming will be visible, personal appearance. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. We're going to discover that a bit more today. But again, we're emphasizing that guard your heart to know what is right and how that works, to protect your heart and understanding. The Alliance have a very strong distinctive, especially in this coming King. And we're going to listen. John Soper is going to speak for a moment. John Soper was a pastor here. For how many years was he here for, Peter? Do you remember? Was he 3 years or so? He was a lecturer as well, but also pastor. About 7 years. He's about 7 years here, and he's been a leader in the Alliance. So he was a pastor here. So this is John Soper speaking about coming King.
One day, after he had preached a sermon on the second coming of Christ, A.B. Simpson was approached by a reporter who asked, "Dr. Simpson, can you tell us exactly when Jesus Christ will return?" Simpson replied, "Yes, and I will tell you if you promise to publish it exactly as I say it." When the reporter agreed, Simpson quoted Matthew 24:14, "For the gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Taking the gospel to every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth has always been the driving force behind who we are as the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We passionately believe that when we finish the task that Jesus gave to the church, he will return. That is what distinguishes us from most other denominations. We really believe that when we take the gospel to the nations, we are at the same time bringing back the King. In our next session, we'll talk about Jesus Christ, our coming King.
So notice what he said. It's a very strong distinctive with us as Alliance. Our belief and understanding is that we preach the gospel. When the gospel has been around the world, then the king is coming back. So we're going to look at that a little bit more as we look through it. So in Matthew 24, we read these words. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. So looking at that massive temple. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Jesus talking about the stones of the temple. They'll all be thrown down. And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, said, tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? How many of you have looked at these or heard stories and all these comments of when the end of time is coming and rapture and things like that? You know, how many we influenced by it in many ways. But what are the signs, as Jesus said? Well, Jesus states this. Jesus answered, watch out. Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, and they'll be claiming, I am the Messiah. Andrew, just if you can go there for a second. Many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. How do we go with that? Are you alarmed with the wars that we're having at the moment? Are you alarmed with the things that are taking place across the world? Jesus said, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. Notice what Jesus is saying here. Because of him, faith in him, we will be persecuted because of that. And at that time, many will turn away from faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Are we seeing false prophets? Are we seeing deception? Lots going on. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Are we seeing that? But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. This is a hard reading. This is a hard passage. And then in 14 is what we just had from John Soper. And this gospel of the kingdom, in other words, this good news of the kingdom, will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. A lot can happen in 3 days. Coming up to Easter, the recognition of Jesus going to the cross, the lowly, humble, horrible death of Jesus on the cross was transformative as he comes to be a king. And yet we see around us so much turmoil, so much angst, so much fear, so much taking place. And yet, can I say that never in history has there been a time where the gospel, the good news of Jesus, can travel the world so easily? I don't know about you, I was talking to the elders yesterday. We didn't enjoy COVID times. Did anybody enjoy COVID times? But you know what happened? It pushed the internet. It pushed the ways for the gospel to get online and spread across the world. Right here, right now, I don't know if we didn't have COVID that I would be standing here in front of these cameras and preaching the gospel. Anybody across the world can log in right now and listen to what's being stated. Not only that, but they're logged onto YouTube and other platforms that people can see, hear, read, and understand the gospel. And I don't know about you, but if you look across the world to places that were, you know, so controlling about allowing the gospel of Jesus to go into their communities, into their culture, into their nations. Now somebody sitting in their room, they've got their phone and got internet connection, can look up and say, well, who is Jesus? What was it about? I think now more than ever across the world, there's this movement happening where people can search and understand who Jesus is. But what about predictions? Since the sort of Jesus dying and rising again, has there been predictions of Jesus coming back? Yes. Sorry?
Hundreds.
Okay. A quick search on Google will tell you there's a number of them throughout history. In fact, the one that I found was 194 so far, and that's just recorded on Google. But it's interesting that in the last 26 years, so from 2000 to now, we've had 41 of them coming through. Did any of them come true? No. I have them here written out. I'm not going to read them all. But it's fascinating throughout history the number of people who have tried to mathematically sort out the coming of Jesus or some sort of symbolism coming through. The times when the year 1000 was the time when people would sell their houses, let the prisoners out of jail, fill the churches. Jesus didn't come back then. And then they thought it was 1033 because that's the millennia, you know, 1,000 years after Jesus' death. So they thought that 1033. So everybody prepared for that? No, didn't come. What's the one that you remember the most? Sorry, 2000? The Y2K, you know, how many people were saying? Sorry?
The Mayan calendar, 21st December 2012.
Yep, there's been some even recently.
Last year, TikTok ones.
There's prophecies coming through. And I'm going to tell you, many people followed it, and millions of dollars went into advertising. And people were caught up in it. The reality is, it's not what we're called to do. Some people spend so much time doing that. But Jesus makes it very clear in Mark 13:32. But about the day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Be on guard, be alert, yes. But don't put your time and your energy into trying to sort out when he's going to come back. Just be ready. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and he puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task. And he tells the one at the door, keep watch. Therefore, keep watch because you don't know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Watch. Keep watch. The parable of the ten virgins, Jesus makes it very clear, a place of understanding. The ten virgins were with the bride, the bridesmaids, and they had to wait for the bridegroom to come. I don't know if you understand the story in this, that in the Jewish culture, and understanding is the man would go and build a house. He would build a room off the side of his parents' house, and they would call that the mansion, or building the mansion off, the building the house off the parents' house. And when he had finished building that house off the parents' house, he was ready then to go and get his bride. But he wouldn't tell her when he was going to get the bride. The bride just had to be ready for him to come at any moment. Ladies, would you like that? Sitting, waiting, and waiting, and waiting. But it's actually a beautiful symbolism of the husband coming finally to take his bride. And it could be at any time, day or night, at any time. When he was ready, he would go and take his bride. And the idea was these bridesmaids, the ten virgins, were to sit and wait for the bridegroom to come. And Jesus makes it clear, only five had the oil and five didn't. And he was saying, watch and wait. And Jesus was telling this story because in the way he was depicting it, he is the groom coming to get his bride. We, us, believers, are his bride. And he's using that understanding. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we ready for his return? That place of understanding, keep watch. Are you ready? The second coming of Jesus is mentioned over 1,500 times to 1,800 times throughout the Bible. Did you know that? The second coming is mentioned in both the Old and New Testament. It's a major theme cited in 23 of the 27 New Testament books and often described as appearing in roughly one out of every 25 to 30 verses in the New Testament. When I looked that up, I couldn't believe how many. The reference. This isn't just some side note in the Bible, oh, Jesus is coming back as king. This is going right through the Bible, depiction of the second coming of Jesus as mentioned. So we need to be in that place where we're ready and understanding. In Acts chapter 1, it says, in my former book, Theophilus, this is Luke writing, in my former book, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Remember, Luke is writing this. So he's writing this as an eyewitness and an understanding. If you keep reading through Acts, you'll see Luke being the eyewitness of all the things that he saw. He said Jesus appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the time or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Again, Jesus saying, we don't know the time or dates. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. He's calling you and I to be witnesses. I know he's talking to the disciples at this moment, but he's asking us also to be witnesses. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. A dramatic moment. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you've seen him going into heaven. Even the angels are making that statement. You see him go up, he's coming back.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. He's coming back. See, we know that Jesus died on the cross through Easter. We knew that he rose again after Easter. We know that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven, sitting on the throne. And he is preparing for one day to come back to you and I. Are you ready? Are you truly ready? Are you ready for him to come back? Are you longing for him to come back? Or are you sitting back going, I'm not so sure about that. I want to live my own life as my own life. I've got all these plans and all these ideas for my future. You know, I'm a bit worried about Jesus coming back. Or I'm okay in myself. I don't want anybody else to, you know, really know about him too much. It's too confronting for me. Our alliance understanding is that we are people who want to share the gospel with others to bring the king back, the gospel across the world. The alliance is foundational on missions and sending people to mission across the world in all different places. Are you supporting those missionaries? If you're not willing to go, are you supporting them yourself? Are we raising others to become missional in their thinking? And are we encouraging them and wanting to send them? Do we have a heart for the king to come back? Where are we in this thinking? Or are we just comfortable with just coming to church, being ourselves, minding our own business, and going to do our own thing? Or are we excited about a bigger picture, about a king that wants to come back, a king longing for the good news to be spread across the world? Where are you in that thinking? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, if we have got too comfortable, if we're not fully understanding, there's a longing for you to come back, for us to see you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If we're not willing to carry the good news across the world, if we're not even considering helping those with missional minded or the calling on their hearts for missions, both local and overseas, if we're not prepared to share the good news with others around because we're worried it will make us uncomfortable, Lord, redirect our thinking. Redirect our hearts and our minds. May we be ready, prepared, with a deeper understanding that the picture is bigger than ourselves. That, Lord Jesus, you have a longing for your creation. You have a longing for our hearts. You have a longing for restoration. You have a longing for us to be transformed. You have a longing for us to see the bigger picture and understand how powerful, how mighty, how wonderful, how incredible it is to be in your presence. I pray, Lord, this morning for doubting hearts, for minds maybe a bit confused. I pray, Lord, for clarity to come and an understanding that you love us so deeply, so richly, that you died and rose again to give us a calling to come into your kingdom. You are the King, and you invite us into your kingdom, and you ask us to invite others to your kingdom as well. May that be so rich in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.